blessed week. I did have an interesting week. I was at the Palm Springs this Wednesday and rushed down to pick up my children at EAA. And then I got stuck in the car over there at halfway down the EAA school. I'm telling you, stuck in the car is really a test of the patience for the saints. Because you're just sitting there, you don't know, have nothing to do, try to get out. Everybody try to get out of their ways. But it was a time to meditate and pray as well. So I hope everyone had a blessed week this week. Dear Father God in heaven, as we come before your throne of grace, open the word. We pause and ask for the blessing of the Holy Spirit, that you will bless this message. Let you speak through us, in us, in spite of us. Let your spirit touch the heart of your people. Make them feel the goodness of your grace. Bless us this Sabbath. In your name we pray. Amen. The message this morning is come from the book of John. John, the Gospel of John. John chapter 1. I was advised by Pastor Maxwell. He said, you know, you better plan a series of sermons from a book that you love the most. And he asked me, what book do you love the most? I said, the book of John. So he said, plan for that. So, being a lot of prayer, I know God will help us to study the book of John. So the sermon comes from the book of John, chapter 1. We have different translation. I'm reading from the New King James Version. John chapter 1, verse 1 up to verse 5. I will read it for us as you follow through. In the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through Him. Without Him, nothing was made that was made. In Him was His life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not comprehend it. May God bless us, the reading of His Word. One of the challenges as a military chaplain is that the chaplain cannot proselytize, cannot attempt to convert soldiers from one religion to another. If a chaplain attempt to do that, he will break a be considered a offensive, criminal offensive to attempt to evangelize in the military. So chaplains are very vulnerable committing the criminal offense because of their role as a clergy and also an officer. I have been advised many times by my senior officers to be sensitive with different religions in the military when we have public assembly, and I was given the opportunity to address issues, moral issues relating to behaviors and even issues, spiritual issues. I was advised that I shall not publicly use the name of Jesus because it became offensive to some of religions such as the Buddhist, the Higgins, some of those unique religions that I never have an experience with them before. So one of the soldiers complained. She said, I'm a Buddhist, and she took offense every time I pray, use the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. I was warned several times, but instead of using the name of Jesus, In my heart, I cried out, facing the pressure not to use the name of Jesus openly, make me to realize that this is what the world must know, that Jesus is all the world needs. Facing the pressure of be sensitive and be tactful of using your spiritual language to purvey your Christianity, help me to realize the world needs to know about Jesus Christ. The Gospel of John was purposely written and presented in a special way to reach the secular mind. The second generation, the new generations, that they never heard about Jesus. They never experienced the miracles and the life of Jesus when he called to stop the forces of nature and they obey his command. They didn't have the experience, the power in Jesus Christ. So John, when he penned the gospel, he had the new generations in his mind, the generation that never heard the angels singing holy night. Christ was born. The generation, they never feel the pain of Jesus' death and rejoice in his resurrections. That's the generations the Gospel of John strives to reach. For those who never meet the eyewitness of Jesus, for those who never associate with the apostles who walk and talk with Jesus. And John in his gospel tried to reach out for the unreached or the secular mind. John opened the gospel by introducing Jesus with the title Logos, or the Word. It's a familiar word with the Jews and the Gentiles. They were influenced by the Greeks' philosophical culture. In verse 1, John wrote in verse 1, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God." Choosing the title Logos, or the Word, to introduce Jesus was purposely elected. The Word was familiar with the Jews and the Gentiles. The Word is a godly personality according to the Jewish mind, that which they equality the Word with the great God. The God that humbled himself to involve with the messy world. To the Greek, is a world of matter in reference to evil. They believe good and evil are totally separate entities, but they use the Word in reference to human intelligence to connect two concepts. So when John attributes the title, the Word, Logos, to Jesus, the new generations, the generation X, the circular generations, as we know in our time, was in his mind. He used the word Logos to portray the character and the nature of Jesus, equal with God, yet humble enough to involve in human affairs of the sinful world. In this line of thought, he echoes the letter of Paul to the church of Philippi. I invite you to turn with me to the Philippians chapter 2, verse 5. There Paul, you can hear Paul see the same concepts as John tried to convey and appeal to the generations about Jesus Christ. The Logos, the Word become flesh. Philippians chapter 2, verse 5 to verse 8. You may look at your Bible. I read it for us. Paul wrote to the church in Philippi and said, your attitude should be the same as that of Jesus Christ. Verse 6. Jesus, who being in very nature of God, did not consider equality with God something to be grasped, but made himself nothing, taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness, being found in the appearance as a man, humbled himself, became obedient to death, even death on the cross. The opening statements of the gospel identify Jesus is the Word became flesh. That is the truth the world must know. Jesus is the Word become flesh. Jesus, by the way, is a transliteration of the Greek word interpreted from the Hebrew word Yahshua. Jehovah God is my salvation. I wish other religions realized the name of Jesus. He speaks about God. Jehovah God is our salvation. That's what the world needs to know about who Jesus is, who Jesus was. He was at the beginning with God, and he was God. Jesus is the Word became flesh. He is the Word equal with God, yet humble enough to involve with the affairs of your life and my life. Isn't that wonderful? We have a God that interesting in what's happening in your life and my life. That's what the Word is all about. A divine God who become a man because he's humble himself enough to get involved in the affairs of your life. The Philippians point out being in the very nature of God, but not consider equality with God something to be grasped, made himself nothing, taking the very nature of a servant, made a human, made in human likeness, appearance as a man, he humbled himself, become obedient to death, even death to the cross. That's what's all involved in the title, the Word become flesh. That's what it means, equals with God, yet humble to involve with human affairs. When we proclaim the Word became flesh, the incarnation of God, willing to involve in your life and in my life. Then John suggests to the new generation, the generation that never heard about Jesus, that Jesus is the Word became flesh. He suggests that God humble enough to get involved, to participate, to interact with your life and in my life. One of the soldiers from the infantry unit was prepared to move forward, and the commander sent that soldier to see the chaplain. The soldier started to act weird. He started to yell at night, based in the tent, talking about committing suicide, talking about God abandoned him. After talking with the soldier, I discovered the soldier was so angry with God. He just returned from the homes from the States, attending the funeral of his father. He claimed that God took the life of his faithful Christian father. He was so young. He was so angry with God. So he decided to live the life that's totally opposite than he was taught at his home because of his angry with God. So now he learned that in few days his unit will be moving in the front line. So he was so afraid. First, he claimed that God left him. Second, he lived in a life that is so terrible that God will not like him to live. And he decided it's better for him to kill himself. After talking with the soldier, sharing with him the nature of the Word become flesh, is the God that interested in your life and in my life. The God that came down and died on the cross, and the world did not realize that he was the Son of God. He's interested in his life and in my life. I point out to the soldier. Soldier, sometimes we may feel that God abandoned us, but God is so loving and so patient that every time we come to him, he's willing to accept us in the way we are. I was talking with the soldier. He started crying and said, "Chaplain, would you pray? And I will pray that God will forgive me, but I would like to start a new walk with the Lord and claim his assurance and his protection that he will be with me in the front line. I praise the Lord because the Word become flesh in the heart of that soldier that gives him power to move on to face challenge in life." John pointed out that Jesus is the Word became flesh. It means God is caring enough to involve in your life, in my life. The question I would like to ask, how could Jesus, the Word became flesh, get involved, interact in your affairs, in your home, in your life? How could Jesus, the Word became flesh, interact with your life daily? And John pointed out to us by stating, in the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God in the beginning. The thought, in the beginning was the Word, indicates Jesus' place where he was before he became a man. It makes reference to the pre-existence of our Lord and Savior. When we proclaim Jesus, we proclaim the Word became flesh. He was at the beginning, became a man because he's interested in your life, in my life. The Word was with God in the beginning. It makes reference to the pre-existence of God. God is number one of all things. As Paul mentioned, when he talks about Jesus, he mentioned Jesus as the firstborn of creations. He is the head of the church, the beginning of all things. I invite you to turn with me to the book of Colossians chapter 1. So we can compare how Paul and John have this idea clearly in their mind and related to the church. Colossians chapter 1, verse 15 to 20. I will read it for us as you look at your scripture. "He is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creations. For by him all things were created, things in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible. Whether throne or powers or rule of authorities, all things were created by him and for him." Verse 17. "He is before all things, and in him all things hold together. And he is the head of the body, the church. He is the beginning, the firstborn from among the dead, so that in everything he might have the supremacy." Isn't that wonderful? We worship Jesus. He's truly God and truly man. Interested in your life and in my life. That's what Paul trying to portray to the Generation X. It's interesting that even the book of Revelations make reference to Jesus as the beginning of everything. You know, the Gospel of John was written by John, and he also the author of the book of Revelations. Turn to with me to the Revelations chapter 1 verse 8. There John himself point out that Jesus is the beginning of everything. Revelation chapter 1 verse 8. The Bible tells us this morning, it reads, I am the Alpha and the Omega, says the Lord God, who is and who was, who is to come and Almighty. John said in the book of Revelation, I am the Alpha and what? And the Omega. He's the beginning and he's the end. Turn to Revelation 21 verse 6. He pursued further the idea of God as the Alpha of all things. Revelation 21 verse 6. John wrote, he said to me, it is done. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. To him who is thirst, I will give to drink without cost from the spring of water of life. That is the nature of the Alpha. He's ready to award. He's ready to cater